Mine is going to be really short. They're busy with family. Right, Mr. Don Gabriel, sir. Good morning, everyone. I want to welcome you all to the Las Animas County Board of County Commissioners regular meeting. Today is Tuesday, October 15th, 2024. It is now 9 a.m. Calling this meeting to order. Please rise for an invocation by Commissioner Luis Lopez, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance by Commissioner Tony Hatz.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to join with you today. Please give us the guidance to make good decisions based upon the community that we represent. And Lord, please keep our children safe in our communities as we head into homecoming weeks for the surrounding school districts. In your heavenly name, Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, commissioners. Roll call, Mr. Dornicap.
Mr. Luis Lopez.
Here.
Mr. Hess.
Here.
Mr. Kiris Lopez.
Here. Approval of the agenda. Do we have any changes to the agenda, Mr. Dornicap?
No changes, Commissioner.
Thank you, sir. I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve the agenda.
Second the motion.
Mr. Luis Lopez.
Yes.
Mr. Hess.
Yes.
Mr. Kiris Lopez.
Yes. We don't have any meeting minutes, so now we're going to go to the reading of correspondence. Commissioner Luis Lopez, would you like to go first?
Thank you, Chairman. Good morning. On the third Front Range Passenger Rail Finance Committee convened to discuss our ongoing financial situation, and we are presenting the board this Thursday and Friday in Denver with those findings. Sometimes tough decisions have to be made when you're monies are not being allocated. The Senate Bill 184 was thought to have some funding available for a Front Range. It turns out it's not going to be as lucrative as we were hoping for. So at the meantime, we have to make some very conservative cuts to make sure we have the viability of the board moving forward for the 25 and 26 fiscal years. And so that's what we're doing. And we'll be making those tough decisions coming up this Thursday and Friday, or presenting that to the board for their final consideration in November for the annual budget review. On the fourth, CCI convened our legislative group, and there was a lot of bills that were being discussed. I was able to give testimony once again on our Front Range, our transportation planning region bill that's going to be carried by our Representative Winter. And we did gain the support from the CCI board as a tier two. So we do have it as a priority bill as a tier two. That's how the
correct
process will work. So we'll move forward with that in the legislation. The hope and prayers is that if this is moving forward, that the Transportation Commission will remove any boundary changes, and then we can continue to move forward to secure that would never happen, in my opinion, for keeping our voice for this community and giving Summit County their recognized voice at the State Transportation Advisory Commission. On the 8th, we met in here with Fort Carson regarding our Pinon Canyon issues. Unfortunately, this was intended to have the City of Trinidad participate in this issue regarding our pipeline request removal funding mechanism, however you want to look at it. So we did have Representative Lamborn's on the phone in Washington, D.C., stating that they had some funding to assist with this possibly. I asked if we had a concession plan for when our Mr. Lamborn is no longer in office next year, and that wasn't conveyed thoroughly. So it's still kind of up in the air, but unfortunately the City of Trinidad didn't post the meeting and they weren't able to join with us other than the mayor and the representative, I'm sorry, Councilwoman Ogletree was with us that day. So again, another mishap, I guess, on behalf of the City of Trinidad. We really wanted to have this work session with them to get the support, possibly moving forward for our white paper, which we've been working on for the past year. And I think the meeting was somewhat successful to get the mayor of Trinidad and one council member the information. Hopefully they take that information back to city council and we move forward. On the 10th, Trinidad Renewal Authority convened. We also are in the budget mode right now as well, and we have some nice funding numbers that have come in at $250-some thousand, $54,000 and change for our coffers, which has been one of the best years for our tax increment funding for the urban renewal. And we also have a grant that was secured so we can go in with the city of Trinidad in supplying a executive assistant to the board, moving forward, administrative assistant to the board, so we can have some sort of assistance to Chairman Grego. We have not had a executive director for urban renewal in the past 5 years, and this grant will hopefully be able to have that administrative assistant work with the planning office with Mr. Nick Mason, and we'll have a someone to help us assist us with getting prepping the meetings and doing some outgoing research and legwork in the community for upcoming projects with urban renewal. So that was nice to hear. We'll be having a future meeting inviting our county treasurer, Mrs. Leonetti, to come and have some discussion. So if Donna, you're on the call, I haven't got that phone call yet, they will be reaching out to you to come do a presentation to urban renewal regarding some of the blighted homes and how the process works to nullify any of the tax back taxes owed on those properties so the city can help move forward. And then again, like I said, Thursday, I'll be in Denver, and Friday for Front Range Rail for our workshop for the next 2 days. And like I mentioned in my invocation, good luck to all of the children of our community this week. It is Pony Farmer Homecoming Week, and I'm a proud dad of a senior cheerleader, and look forward to seeing the activities and festivities this coming weekend. So that's my report.
Thank you, sir. Commissioner Hatz.
And as Commissioner Lopez stated, the commissioners were present at the CCI Legislative Committee hearings. We met and took positions on county introduced legislation, and we had to narrow the scope from 40 plus legislative possibilities to 8 requested by staff. We couldn't get it to 8. We settled on 10 priorities at the tier 1 level and 5 at the tier 2 level. Topics included from tier 1, ag land, URAs, sentencing for child prostitution, the child trafficking problem, courthouse funding, water sampling, county lodge tax, EV charging stations, property tax proceedings, and of course our TPR designation. Grand County also brought forth the letter of opposition letter to address any additional wolf release until CPW addresses the detrimental issues with the current program. It was adopted by CCI as a whole body unanimously. October 5th, I had the distinct honor of serving on the Service Academy Nomination Committee. 8 highly qualified individuals were interviewed. And how refreshing it is to know that there are young people out there with the love of country and willing to protect and serve. It was really, really heartfelt to be able to listen to those individuals talk about their love of country. On the 8th, we had the Army work session talking about Pinyon Canyon and the pipeline. October 10th, the Environmental Impact Assistance Fund Committee met to ratify the cycle 2411, the tier 1 funding application. A total of 66 applications were received. $25 million was available for funding, $5 million for tier 1 and $20 million for tier 2. Also, an additional $20 million was budgeted for more housing now, and $10 million for addressing the climate resilience challenge initiatives. And our next tier 1 and tier 2, and I believe Los Angeles County will have a tier 2 application. The round will be held October 28th through the 30th. And that's my report, sir.
Thank you, sir. We'll be probably traveling to Yuma County.
Ray, Colorado.
That's where you guys are going to be meeting. So I believe we have one presentation. So the without being a repetitive, one of the meetings we had yesterday with Colorado Counties Inc. to go over the assessment and fee structure for public lands. Los Animas County is a host of several thousands of acres that are publicly government owned, and because of that we get an opportunity to participate and work with CCI so they can work at the national level on the how to maintain those properties. One of the questions that came up yesterday when it comes to natural resources coming out of the public lands and who manages those and how do counties get informed that even a NEPA investigative report is 100% completed. So it's a pretty robust conversation. And for us, as being part of CCI, we do pay a fraction of representative services through CCI for us to get all the information when it comes to those kinds of things. One of the more salient points is what happens if there's a fire within public lands, who responds, what is the structure in small counties. I think if that were to happen, there is already a chain of communication. If a fire were to happen, Pinyon Canyon and all the other fire districts respond. So I think we don't need to reinvent the wheel. I didn't make any comments on that because I believe fire chiefs know best and EMTs know best. So, but as we go through the conversations, one of the very important things is to be certain that we are good neighbors with those entities. We have Pinyon Canyon, we have a lot of the national public lands. How do we manage those in partnership with the county and all the services that we have that we offer from the county? One of the more big points right now is on these public lands is going to be water. And what happened, Commissioner Haas serves on the waters of the United States. So those conversations and questions will be addressed as we go forward. What happens when water begins in a public land and going to a private property? Can the private property owner use it? Well, there is a lot of redefinition of those things, but that was, without repeating a lot of the meetings that we've been to, that's going to be my report. And so certainly, once again, I want to just put it out there that on Los Animas County, we have a link to CCI and all the legislation that is being introduced and that will be introduced that's going to be impacting counties in some way, shape, or another. So you can go to our website and find that information, how to look at what's happening at the state legislative session or what's happening specifically with our county. So thank you. On this note, I'm going to now go to elected officials update. Sheriff, since you're present. Thank you, sir. Let me call on our county assessor, mentioned that she was going to be doing something else. Anyone from clerk and recorder? Treasurer? District Attorney, Coroner, hearing that, we're going to go to the next section, Section 5, presentations. We have one listed here, Mr. Dorenkamp. Do you receive communication from Mr. Harold Unwin?
He was scheduled to present today, yes, sir, but I'm not sure. Maybe
we don't have Mr. Unwin online. My only question would be to counsel. I don't think we could, in the event that he were to show up retroactively, give him the opportunity. Counsel, I think that's a question of a yes or no.
Correct. He would have to reschedule.
Thank you, ma'am. Let me make one last call on this particular one. Under presentations, we have Mr. Harold Unwin, retention pond removal.
And he was told 9:15.
He was instructed that the meeting would begin at 9 o'clock, or excuse me, email, via email.
We're going to move on then to a public comment. Do we have anybody signed up for public comment, Mr. Dornkamp?
No one signed up, Commissioner.
And at this time, I'd like to also ask anyone online that would be interested in addressing these Board of County Commissioners, please unmute yourself or simply raise your hand and you would have 3 minutes. Hearing that, let me make an announcement at this time. We're going to go to, we're going to have a public hearing at 10 a.m. Regardless of where we are on the agenda items on this meeting, we will stop that meeting to enter into the public hearing that has been published and scheduled. So on that, we're going to go to section 9, new business. 9A, consideration of cost allocation grant contract. Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commission for you is a series of allocation, grant contract allocation. And I believe this is something that Finance Director Chrissy Kobler can add.
So this is the grant that we received for the Department of Human Services, the indirect cost. Yeah, and this company does the grant application for us.
That's the $5,000 and change. Yes, okay.
Correct. I was trying to get past the presentation.
We have had, this is, I believe it covers 2025 and 26.
This one, correct.
Okay, yeah. Very good. Commissioners, any questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve cost allocations grant contract.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. Going to go to 9B, consideration of retail liquor license renewal for Romero Liquors. Let me ask the question. Council, any concerns, any questions from your perspective on this application?
No, Commissioner, I've reviewed and I have no concerns.
Thank you, ma'am. Commissioners, any questions on this particular application? I don't hear any questions. I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve the retail liquor license renewal for Romero's Liquors.
Second the motion.
Mr. Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Mr. Hatch?
Yes.
Mr. Felix Lopez?
Yes. 9C, consideration of third quarter trustee report. Pretty self-explanatory. Unless we have somebody from the trustee's office. Any questions, commissioners? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve the third quarter public trustee report.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. 90, consideration of courthouse, county court upgrade, Trinidad Construction Group change order number 3, Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioner, before you, for your considerations, change order number 3 on the judge's bench project, it was an oversight of low voltage terminals and data, additional data cabling that the state needed to make a better layout for their audio visual. So that's what's in front of you for your consideration.
And I don't want to get ahead of myself. This is Commissioner Luis Lopez's question, but
the funding for it.
There is, Commissioner. We've got a fairly healthy fund or balance between what was awarded to us and what we've spent today.
I have another follow-up question.
But is every time we do a change order, the county's obligated for a 9% match?
9%, so that is our portion.
Although
Chrissy had
budgeted for the entire what we had projected the cost, so we still have those funds available also.
So that's my follow-up question would be is this going to be the final and last change order? This is number 3 so far. Do we have any expectations to have any more?
There's at least one more lingering up. It's for $11,000 in change. But it won't be with Trinidad Construction. It will be with Millick because they're needing to move one of these cabinets from where it's at to a different location.
All right. Well, and we have to match that 9%, Christy?
We do, but I think with Elizabeth underfunded, they're making sure that the funding is there, their portion of it, right, Phil? Isn't that
Yeah,
what you
I
said the
think.
other day? Yeah, because there's additional funding with these other two grants as well. I think we're working on that, correct? To see what to do with additional the other funding.
Yeah, they're looking at possibly using the HVAC funding, by what I'm reading in the emails, to pay for the movement of the cabinet. But
That's a big process, relocating a cabinet after all the infrastructure has been done.
yeah, and to mill it, I mean, the original, and get way off in the weeds here because it hasn't come in front of the board yet. But Millig is working to try and get that potential upcoming change order reduced by quite a bit. Matter of fact, they've dropped their fees and their overhead and everything
What's
else.
the
So
purpose for relocation?
it was originally designed to sit right behind where the jury sits. So moves the jury out, foot and a half. I don't remember what the dimensions were, which puts him right up next to where the judge is. And court executive Elizabeth Romanowski, who does court layouts, says that won't work because the jury needs to be away from the judge as much as possible. So
But that's still forthcoming right now.
yeah, it's forthcoming. What's in front of you right now is this
There it is.
low voltage terminal
So
and
roughly
cable.
$270 is what the county will be incurring as far as indirect expense.
Correct.
Yep. So,
Okay.
any other questions related to this particular line item? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I share Commissioner Lopez's concern. I hate these, but move to approve the courthouse's County Court Upgrade Trinidad Construction Group Change Order Number 3.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. 9E, consideration of GM financial lease purchase agreement for patrol vehicles. Good morning, Sheriff.
Commissioners. I had sent a copy of the contract to which we were supposed to get for the new patrol vehicles from GM. That will pay for five over a four-year period. And I think if you don't approve that today, they'll have to do another one. So, but I did send that to Ms. Nelson, and she did review it.
Thank you, Sheriff. Please stand by. Council, having reviewed the agreement, item contract, do you have any questions, concerns?
I have reviewed. I have no legal questions or concerns.
Thank you, ma'am. I am going to yield the floor to Commissioner Luis Lopez. I know the question he's going to ask.
Ms. Coverley, do we have the funding? And Sheriff never had the funding in his budget for this program.
So not for this year, but I think this takes effect for 2025 because we don't have 112 for this year, correct?
I had the 120 set for in the budget this year for those cars. They just hadn't come in yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so
we had it set.
So you still have that. So
yeah, I have
the budget of 112
yes.
for 2024.
Yeah,
and
we had that.
Future.
We had that set aside for vehicles.
Okay. Okay, yeah, I'll go with them.
And what's the delivery time for your vehicles, Sheriff? Does it look, I mean, we've had, reason I asked, we've had a hard time getting them.
Right, I've received two of the trucks and already one of the Tahoe's been received, so I need two more, but they're sending them as soon as they make them.
Okay. And the other vehicles that are going to be auctioned, or how do we?
I will probably keep the 2020 Interceptors on the backside for extra cars for trips, and if these go down, we'll keep those for a little bit. They're still probably not great for patrol, but they can be used for other things too.
So will you have to incur the cost to upgrade all of these vehicles as well, or will you be able to use the equipment you have in the current ones?
No, that came with
the
package, one we purchased from John Elway Chevy, that came with the upfits. It was all one package.
And there are Chevy Tahoes, correct?
We got one Tahoe and four Silverado pickups. We're going to try trucks and see how they handle the roads and the hills here.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, a little higher clearance. There's too many rocks, and those Interceptors are really low to the ground, so they're more for street. So we're going to try something different. And at the time, that's all we could really get because of the shortage of vehicles that is going on across the country. There's lucky to pick those up. I got them through John Elway Chevy in Denver, so she was able to find those.
You know, the Chevy guy, I feel they're a better quality vehicle, you know, overall. So I think you have made a little better.
And we have two Tahoes on the road on 2023s, and they've done really well so far.
I have no further questions.
Thank you, sir. Commissioner,
no question.
But he does the budget.
Thank you. And I believe we'd have to sign, but commission would have to sign on for that contract. And if I get that, I'll get it to him before the 18th, then we won't have to redo it.
Mr. Dornkamp.
Just out of curiosity, what's the price of when the Tahoe's and pickups?
There wasn't much difference. They were around 40. I was getting them for 40, 45,000 plus the upfit. So it was around 80 total for each car. But when we added that fifth one, I was able to add a fifth one. It just came across and they asked if we'd want it. And I checked to make sure it would fall within our budget. That brought it up. So the cost for the four originally would have been around 80 a year. So that's 45 to 40 for the pickup and then like another 40 for the upfit, put all the equipment in it.
Thank you.
Mr. Dornkamp and Sheriff, thank you. I'm going to, for future perhaps, and I don't know, I'm just simply speaking out loud here, thinking out loud, National Association of Counties may have, and I have no idea that they do, but they may have a purchasing agreement at the national level for law enforcement. It might not be a bad idea to look into that. I'll make a couple of phone calls to see if, you know, a few years back, you had looked into enterprise and other possibilities, but I think as the expense continues, you know, the affordability of the vehicles, I mean, just keeps increasing. We need to be looking for if there are any opportunities to save that.
We had tried with Enterprise, but they needed more vehicles than what they wanted to get the whole county on board. And I think it was decided that the county didn't need the excess and they didn't need, they had to have so many vehicles, non-emergent vehicles, and plus ours, I think that's
in order to make that the package.
We had tried that several months ago or a year ago, and it just wasn't going to work on that end.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Drunk. I just wanted to make a comment about the source of funding. $120,000 the sheriff is referring to is available because of the citizens of the county trusting the county, or what was it, in 2020, 2022, to allow us to spend those excess monies. And we set aside $120,000 for vehicle purchases within the sheriff's department.
Yes.
So that's where that funding's coming from.
Thank you, sir.
So again, I want to thank the citizens.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Before I make the motion, just for transparency reasons, the grant total on this is $112,000 repayment annually, to a total of $448,474.52. Which is for five vehicles. I think the sheriff's done his due diligence in outfitting these vehicles. You know, we have such a vast, large county, and without public safety, having vehicles that are dependable to get to those folks that live out in outlying areas is very imperative. Make sure they have that safety mechanism in place. So,
right. And I had researched the buying just maybe one or two, but it would have been past probably $130,000 just for two regular purchases and upfits. So I think that's more a better way to spend the funding.
Right, and like Mr. Dornkamp said, you know, we're in a way better spot than we were 8 years ago. I remember your fleet was pretty much whittled to nothing.
It was.
At that time. So thank the taxpayers of Los Angeles County for allowing us to have these funding mechanisms in place.
And again, I believe that as the old fleet exits, you'll recover some of those funds.
I could get some from auction. I don't know. I got several that I think were just be scraps from older cars. But I'll have to get all those together, paperwork, we can put them up on auction. I will keep some of the 2020s, though, for extras.
Sure.
And while you have a thought, we still have CTSI available to us, and you know, turnover in employment and stuff like that. Make sure that you can utilize the services they offer with the driver safety trainings and all those types of things to protect the integrity of the vehicles to be great.
Yeah, we take a class. I haven't had one. They used to come down and give us those classes, but I'll check with them. Probably since we have
Commissioner Hess sits on the executive board. He can assist you with that.
If you would like that, I'll put a bug in there.
Yeah, they've come down in the past and given us the courses, so I would probably need that.
Okay.
Thank you, Sheriff. Any other questions, commissioners? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Well, that said, I'll make a motion to approve GM Financial Lease Purchase Agreement for patrol vehicles.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Reese Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. Thank you, Sheriff. 9F, consideration of RETAC grant application. Morning, Chief.
Good morning, commissioners and staff. How are we doing?
Fine. How are you?
Oh, what a beautiful day.
Oh, man, you're happy today. I like that.
I got a lot of good things going on. So in front of you, you have consideration for a RETAC grant. This is the RETAC funds that we get every year in the amount of $15,000. This year, because Kim, we do, Trinidad Ambulance District will pay for the full amount of the physician advisor funds that we pay for each year for his direction. We'll pay for that for the whole county, including Kim. And then Nikki had some other things that she wanted to go for. So we're only asking for 10,000 of the 15,000 to go to that medical direction. And then Nikki will have to funds to utilize what she needs to utilize out of Kim. So we've been working together for the last several years doing that, and I think it's just a lot better for the whole county as a whole. So a lot of other good things going on. I recently am certified as a community paramedic, and as of today, we have 5 other paramedics that are going to be taking the class for community paramedic. So we'll be moving forward on that. And hopefully bringing a lot more, not only behavioral health, but other services that we can provide to the community and the county as a whole. So we're continuing to do that. Chief Moreno and I will be at the Financial Summit the end of this week in Colorado Springs, and then followed up by the state conference, which we're taking at least 3 of our employees each year. Now we started that last year. And so we can get them out. We continue to stay on the level of the state level, as both Chief Moreno and myself are on the advocacy committee for the upcoming legislation, which is looking kind of grim from after talking to Representative Winter. But we'll do what we can to make sure that our county has a voice. So
thank you so much. When you mentioned behavioral health, we had a meeting with Commissioner, BHA Commissioner Danette Smith. And so if you get an opportunity to run into her, she knows Felix Lopez. I've been asking her to send some of the dollars that are being appropriated through the BHA to rural Colorado. And so basically, perhaps in partnership, you might be able to apply for one of the grants that they have so you can provide higher behavioral health services and access for our local community. And one of the things that the conversation has been surrounding the ag community, and that is near and dear to all of us here in Los Angeles County. So from that, if you happen to run into her, tell her commissioners from Los Angeles County said hello, and she'll know exactly what we're talking about. Because to us, one of the most important things is you all know what's happening. And even with this RETAC grant, it is a huge, huge help for the entire county, but for those outlying areas that otherwise wouldn't have any accessibility to dollars and services. So thank you and congratulations on the work that you're all doing. And from that perspective, I'm gonna continue. I'm part of the behavioral health conversation group and have been for the last 2-3 years. We'll continue to do that, simply because we don't want those FTEs concentrated in Denver or Colorado Springs. We want those services actually to be made available to us here in Los Angeles County.
Well, unfortunately, we know the healthcare system is broken. The behavioral health system is a dumpster fire. So everything we can do. And the other thing is that we find is the behavioral health side of things has the money that can come that way. So those resources, I'm great hopeful that will be coming our way soon. Now, how it looks for us and how we proceed, there's basically three main districts in Colorado that are using community paramedic model, which is Eagle County Paramedics, Delta County Ambulance Service, and UPass Regional Health Service District. All of them are using theirs a little bit differently depending on what their needs are. UPass is almost 90-some percent is mental health. Delta County is more driven towards readmissions, and they've worked with their local insurance company to help fund a lot of what they do. So they do a little bit differently. Eagle County deals with a lot of low income because of the resorts and those type of things. So they do a lot more with A to Z family type follow-ups and those type of things. So there's a number of things that we can bring to the table and bring those resources. As you all know, our funding is not getting any more. It's definitely costing us more to proceed and to bring us services. So we're definitely dedicated to the county and making sure that we can bring those to Los Angeles County.
Are you offering any clinics our students from that are going through this?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. So we along with Trinidad Fire, Mount San Rafael Hospital, we do the EMT or EMT basic clinicals, which I think we have two on the calendar this month, as well as we also entertain PCC and other paramedic programs besides what we do for ourselves. We've taken the stance to grow our own paramedics, and right now we're at about, I believe, six or seven that we've put through school and are really working out for us.
On the grant question I have for you, so Kim will be applying separately, or this can be included in the grant?
They'll be applying separately.
So they have to come in.
They will have to come and see you
before the board. Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to clarify that for the record. And then also regarding your other information you have with the behavioral health, have you guys secured a provider to help assist in that program moving forward, or how's that looking at this?
So we are just getting started in that. So one of the things that we're going to have to secure is telehealth for both mental health. And there's been a bunch of changes at the federal level and the state level as far as the regions. We went from 7 to down to 4. We're now with Rocky Mountain Health Group, which is kind of the south and western part of the county or state. So all of that is just getting started. We're not exactly sure exactly what it's going to look like, but I will tell you that there's going to be a lot more potential for a lot more services that we can offer.
All right. And I think we discussed it in the past that there might be a process to come before the county commissioners based upon your special district taxing measure that you had. I don't know if that mechanism still needs to be accomplished.
Health service district.
Yeah,
we're in process of working on that. We did receive our KISS license, so we're on process of doing that. So at some point, we'll come and see you.
Great, thank you.
One of the probably the most important things that you're doing right now, and you're going above and beyond because it takes a lot of work to be an advocate and to be up there at the Capitol and to fight for those bills that you want to go through or not go through. And thank you for doing that, because that's really important. Well, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu.
That's right.
I'm glad you're there.
And one other thing, commissioners, I'd like to cordially invite you to, we have our new facility. We've been in it since about mid-July. We are going to be having an open house for not only the public, but also the kids to do something for Halloween. So if I can, I'd like to hand out some flyers. I'd love to see all of you there, see what we have, see what we've done. We've made plans for the future. And I think that's going to be a facility that's going to help us out through many years to come.
Great.
Thank you. And I know you had an open house earlier, and I was actually I showed up, but you guys had an emergency call just down the street at the roundhouse.
We did.
Yeah, and I didn't get to do that too. So look forward to this one.
We might dress up like commissioners that day.
So, guys, I just want you to know that, you know, throughout, you know, public service is a calling, and we have a lot of dedicated folks, and I believe that not only our medicine, but everything that we're trying to do for our county and our visitors of our county is working out. So if you guys ever have any questions or anything, please feel free, and we'll keep doing and keep up the good fight.
And I think that information is mutual as well. If you have any questions for us, you're more than welcome at any time. Absolutely. If you're on the agenda or not, we appreciate the communication. So any additional information or questions, commissioners? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Move to approve the RETAC grant application.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hans?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great day.
Likewise. 9G, consideration of enlarged south side ditch proxy, Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioner, before you, just for your consideration, exactly as you had stated, it's an enlarged south side ditch company proxy.
Who have we listed before?
We haven't. I think Commissioner Luis Lopez generally just went to those meetings, represented the county, but I thought
the
process would be to put it in.
Yeah, we've never formally did that. And with it leased out there, usually the property,
the lessee
has been attending those meetings as well to make sure that is. That is there, but I'll be glad to attend on the 9th. Let me make sure my calendar. Let's see here. Yeah, I'm available to attend on the 9th for that meeting, if you wish to appoint me for this year, but you'll need to remember to
change
it next year. Unless we want to have, you know, one of our county staff.
I have to go anyway.
So why don't we
I can help you out there.
I like to
thank you because I have hunters.
Okay.
So if I were in concurrence, I would like to then I think was that was would you like to make a motion in
I'll make a motion to appoint Tony Hass to the enlarged south side sticks ditch proxy.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
And Commissioner Hass going to abstain?
Abstain. Thank you.
9H, consideration of a resolution 24-034, opposition to Proposition 127, prohibit bobcat, lynx, and mountain lion hunting, Mr. Dorenkamp.
Mission void for your consideration is resolution 24-034, opposition to Prop 127 for the prohibition of hunting bobcat, lynx, and mountain lion.
Commissioners, do we have any questions before Mr. Dorenkamp reads the proposition?
No questions, but I'd like to make a comment. Lynx are already prohibited from any takings. And in my opinion, leave CPW, the experts, to do the science-based management that is already successful in all game management. Ballot box biology doesn't work, as we are all witnesses of, with the wolf reintroduction.
If I may add to that comment, by allowing or by opposing this proposition, I think what we're trying to do is secure the longevity of our public hunting for our mule deer and elk populations alike without control of this predator we're going to see a decline over the years to come. And a lot of our businesses in this county depend on those availability of game to be successful in this community. And it touches so many different perspectives and people from the restaurants and the hotels that are coming in, and including our airport, which are receiving in hunters now. If we allow this to happen and this passes, I think Colorado is going to be in a large decline of wild game population, and in particularly millions of dollars that will be coming into the state of Colorado. So with that, I would oppose agree to opposing Proposition 127 as well.
Yes. Thank you. And before you read the resolution, Mr. Drone Camp, one personal comment is there is a reason why statutorily CPW was established to manage and work with the hunting community of Colorado and out of state. So for that reason, we do not need special interest groups telling Coloradans what to do. I think CPW has the science, they have the management, and they have the historical data to support that indeed they know how to do their job. We don't want to give later on, we'll come up with, if this were to pass, we're going to come up with a whole different division of feel good kind of thing agency to start providing the services that CPW does, from my perspective, so well. So leave it alone. If it isn't broken, let's not find a solution for something that doesn't need to be solved. So with that, Mr. Drone-Camp, would you please read the resolution?
The Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, resolution opposing the passage of Proposition 127, Resolution 24-034. Whereas the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, recognizes the importance of sound wildlife management practices, utilizing all available tools, including hunting, maintaining ecological balance, particularly in the management of mountain lions, lynx, and bobcats. Whereas Proposition 127 seeks to ban the hunting of mountain lions, lynx, and bobcats in Colorado, thereby limiting the Colorado Parks and Wildlife Grand CPW imprint ability to use one of the most effective tools available to manage wildlife populations and to mitigate human-wildlife conflicts. Whereas the scientific community and wildlife management professionals recognize that regulated hunting is a critical method of controlling predator populations, which helps reduce livestock depredation, safeguard public safety, and preserve a balance between predator and prey species. Whereas hunting of these species is currently managed under strict regulations set forth by CPW, utilizing the North American model of wildlife conservation that ensures sustainability, prevents overharvesting while taking into account ecological conditions and population health. CPW estimates the passage of Prop 127 would result in an annual loss of about $410,000 from licenses sales. Additional studies predict the reduction in mule deer and elk populations, leading to a $5.8 million decline in license revenue from these sources, and as much as a $61.65 million loss in economic activity from hunting. And whereas Proposition 127 does not adequately consider the negative consequences and risks harming the long-term health of both wildlife populations and human communities in Colorado. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, that we hereby oppose Colorado Proposition 127 and urge voters to reject this measure to preserve effective, science-based wildlife management in our state. Be further resolved that the Board of County Commissioners encourage our residents to be informed on the importance of wildlife management and the role that responsible regulated hunting plays in maintaining the ecological balance, economic impact, and safety in our communities. On a motion made and second, affirmative vote, this resolution is adopted this 15th day of October, 2024, by order of the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, followed by your signature.
My sincere apologies. I don't think we went with a motion, but... did we have a motion on the table to approve the resolution?
No.
Oh, we haven't taken
If that. There is any more discussion on that or any edits on this particular resolution, commissioners, please at this time. Otherwise, I'll entertain a motion to approve the resolution as read.
Move to approve resolution 24034, opposition to Proposition 127, prohibit bobcat, lynx, and mountain lion hunting.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. 9I, consideration of resolution 24-034, opposition to Proposition 131, establishing all candidate primary and ranked voice choice voting general elections. Mr. Dorenkamp.
Mr. Foy, for your consideration, resolution 24-035, opposition to Proposition 131, which is the establishment of an all candidate primary and ranked choice voting general elections.
Commissioners, any discussion? Wanted to just highlight a couple of things. This has been tried in out of state, other states, and those states are going back to the traditional election ballot. They are going back to what works. This particular one to me is not fair, clear, and concise. So for that perspective, I believe that the opposition that is coming on my personal opinion would be that it wouldn't be any fair election, especially in states where one party dominates the other. So from that perspective, commissioners, any additional comments?
Yeah, I would like to say that this would be very burdensome to Los Angeles County and our current budget the way it is. We're already dealing with the unfunded mandates that are coming to our county. And this would actually make the clerk initiate two different systems for the election. So we wouldn't just have one election. You'd have to have another separate one.
I concur, gentlemen. Just at first glance, it seems like it might be something that would be liked in the state of Colorado. However, if you get into the weeds regarding the mechanism in place, it's not going to be fair to folks that have been dedicated to one party or the other, whether it be Democrat or Republican, and it makes way of a slippery slope moving forward. There's a system in place for a reason. It has checks and balances, and I would oppose this as well.
Mr. Dorenkamp, would you please read the resolution?
The Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, resolution opposing the passage of Proposition 131, Resolution 24-035, whereas Colorado Proposition 131 proposes to establish a system of ranked choice voting, print RCV in print, in general elections and implement an all-candidate primary system for state and federal offices, allowing all candidates, regardless of party affiliation, to run in a single primary with the top candidates of answer to the general election. Whereas this proposal would drastically and significantly change the way candidates are nominated and elected in Colorado state office elections, upending discarded time-honored historically successful process used since the establishment of our state 148 years ago. Whereas the success of our time-honored electoral process is offering opportunity, choice, and clear decisiveness stands in stark contrast to the wide-open processes used in other nations, which often results in a fractured governing coalitions, which resolve at the slightest conflict. Whereas this proposal would also significantly complicate both the manner in which citizens vote and in which these votes are processed and counted, leading to voter confusion, disenfranchisement, a much greater public cost, and greater likelihood of delay, error, and mischief. Whereas the aspect of this proposal known as ranked choice voting appears to seriously run afoul of the vital and hallowed constitutional concept of one person, one vote by permitting certain persons votes to be counted more than once. Whereas this proposal, by virtually guaranteeing more than two candidates in most or all state office elections, not only lends to a lack of decisiveness, but a greater likelihood that the most popular candidates will not prevail, contravening the will of the electorate and severely undermining public confidence in our electoral process. Whereas the board takes notice that a significant number of citizens of the state of Alaska recently adopted an electoral concept and process quite similar to Prop 131, have seen fit to seek its rescission by placing an initiative on their state's ballot to abandon open primaries and ranked choice voting, return to the traditional election process. And whereas Los Angeles County Board of County Commissioners is committed to ensuring integrity, accessibility, and efficiency of our election system, and any changes that complicate these principles should be considered with extreme caution. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, that the board hereby opposes the passage of Proposition 131 and urges our citizens to vote against this ballot measure at the general election, citing concerns over its potential negative impacts on voter participation, the increased complexity of voting process, potential cost to taxpayers, and the logistical burden on election officials. My motion made and seconded affirmative vote this resolution was adopted this 15th day of October 2024 by order of the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, followed by your signatures.
Thank you, sir. Any conversation, any recommendations on the proposition as read? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve Resolution 24-035, opposition to Proposition 131, establishing all candidate primary and ranked choice voting general elections.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hans?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. At this time, I think I'm going to call for a small recess. We have 5 minutes before the public hearing at 10 a.m. Motion?
So moved.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hans?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. I'll entertain a motion to resume the regular Board of County Commissioners.
So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Harris?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. And it is now 10 a.m. We're going to be entering into the public hearing. 7A application BR 2024-001 by Mr. Robert Sarks, Living Trust and Freedom Outfitters, LLC, requesting to vacate a portion of County Road 105.6, starting on the north boundary of Section 1-35 South-61 West, then south approximately 2,037 feet to the end of the road, and the ranch house and shop. At this point in time, let me go ahead and put some procedures in place. Anyone that is wishing to testify on this particular public hearing will do so in a respectful manner. These Board of County Commissioners will get any conversation only that is germane, entertain a conversation germane to this particular public hearing. So anyone online or present that wishes to do that, you will have to be sworn in, and at any point in time that we have any questions, once you are sworn in, we would ask that you remain in the room for any follow-up conversation. Having said that, I'm going to call on Mr. Robert Bob Lucero and Madam Counsel. Would you please, with Los Angeles County Land Use, would you please raise your right hand, sir, to get you sworn in?
You solemnly swear under penalty of perjury the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Please state your name and position.
My name is Robert Lucero. I'm planning and land use director. We have before you a request for a vacating of a portion of County Road. I think it's 105.6. The request was originally, they were talking about closing the whole road off, but because there is a school section in there, I informed the applicant that they couldn't block that off. That school section does have a small family cemetery on it. So he was okay with requesting the gate be put up right on the north end of Section 1.
Mr. Dorenkamp, do you have a map that we can put up in there, please?
Say just a bit.
That's okay. That's okay. I want to make sure that for anyone that is our viewers and for this Board of County Commissioners, as we take a look at the request road to be vacated, one of the personal questions that I'll have for you later on will lead to exactly where that gate is going to be located.
Commissioner, let me screen share this so folks on our virtual audience can. See this also. And I believe we are set.
Thank you, sir.
This is 1056 here.
And so Mr. Lucero, Mr. Is that where you have the cursor? Where is the proposed gate?
Right on that section line, right there.
Right there.
Yeah.
Okay. And the property that it is, as we look here, the accessibility would be, it wouldn't be blocking any outside party that would be needing to go on that particular point.
Correct. The only portion where he wants to put the gate is on between section 1 and section 36. That portion leads to the house, the ranch house, and his barns, storage facilities, and they are absentee landowners. They're not there all the time. And he says what people tend to do is they come in and they turn around because that's as far as they can go is at the ranch house. So they turn around and go back out. So he's wanting to put a gate right there between the school section and section one where his house is.
Where is the house located there, Mr. Dorenkamp? Can you point right there? Okay, thank you.
Can be done at the end of the county.
Okay. And that's the 2037. There you go. See that? The 2037 feed that we understand is being requested.
Yes. Okay. And right on the school section, there's a small Lucero Cemetery on there. But it's on the school section, so they'll have access to that.
And so is that school section located on this map? Right there. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So that would be still accessible because the gate is going to be further.
Yes. Okay. Still accessible.
All right. We have the notes from planning and land use.
Planning Commission made a recommendation to go ahead and vacate that.
Did by way of information, we have a list of all the people that apparently were notified.
Yes, we sent certified letters to the two landowners prior to our Planning Commission meeting. And then it was required under Colorado statute that the commissioner's office send, they don't have to be certified, but they have to notify the state land board and I think Mr. Paulich for the two landowners.
Okay.
I didn't get any response back from any of them, so.
No opposition?
No.
Mr. Lucero, thank you for being here with us. This information presented. So the 2037 feet, and maybe this is a road and bridge question, but it's very minimal to the impact of the dollars from PILT. Mr. Dorenkamp's not sworn in yet, but my records show it's about $2,300 a mile what we're receiving from PILT for this. So this is not even going to be a third of that or around that dollar amount. Question I have, though, is if this property is ever to be sold, does the property owner, or is the property owner here, I guess, might be here. Okay, so we'll ask you that question. But to be aware of if it's to be sold and wants the county to bring it back to a county road, it has to meet all of the compliance of road and bridge before the county will accept it in the future if they were future owners or this particular owner would want to reestablish it as a county road. It has to come up to county standards. So, and that's been alerted to the petitioner?
I have not informed him of that. Okay.
Mr. Lucero, there is on the descriptive language of this, and I will follow up, and I want to swear in Mr. Doran Kapp on this question as well. There is some state land that is perhaps behind the property or adjacent to the property. Mr. Doran Kapp, go back to the map again. Would you please highlight where that state property is located and if this is going to be infringing upon anyone attempting to access that state property? Because, you know, again, right now, if we read that the owners have a lease on the state property, but again, the state property, the lease could be expiring, it can be transferred to somebody else, and then we have the private citizenry not able to access that particular state-owned real estate up there. So if the gate was to be approved, located up at the junction right there, the state property is right there. How are any private citizens with that gate in there, Mr. Lucero, going to be having access to that public land?
The gate will be won't hinder anybody. That the state school section will still be, the public still can access the school section.
There's another gate.
Okay.
Commissioner, the main county gate 8.8, or this might be a different number up here, but.
I'm sorry, Mr. Dornkamp, I need to swear you in.
Yes.
Excuse me, counsel.
Do you solemnly affirm under penalty of perjury the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And if you'll please state your name and position.
Phil Dornkamp, Los Angeles County Administrator.
Proceed, Mr. Dornkamp.
But the main county road is this one here. This goes back towards Trinidad. This here goes back towards Branson. So anybody wanting access to this school section would do so prior to the board making this decision and even post making this decision off of this main county road to access this school section. If there's other governmental property back behind here, I am not aware of it, but I don't think that in historically they've used 105.6 to access that those properties back there if they do exist. So.
And that, thank you, Mr. Grokamp. That was going to be my follow-up question. What if there was anything behind that private property? How many acres are we talking about there, Mr. Lucero, on that private property that is?
School section 640
okay.
acres. Yeah, and I don't think you're getting into any because I think that's the New Mexico line that he's pointing to there.
So. Okay. All right. Commissioners, any questions for Mr. Lucero at this point in time? Please stand by, sir. And let me call if there is the owner of the property wishes to please come up, sir. I'm going to ask you to please raise your right hand, sir.
You solemnly affirm under penalty of perjury the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
And please state your name.
Cody Hazen.
Mr. Hazen, what is your relationship to this property that we are discussing this morning?
I'm the managing member for Freedom Outfitters, which is 20% owner of the property.
Okay. Let me begin by once again asking you the same question that I asked Mr. Lucero. As far as if that gate was to be installed in there, is there any public land behind going through the road that you are requesting that perhaps needs to be accessed through, or has there been access to this point to any public land?
No, sir. There is a half section off of the ranch property, and there's an easement from the neighboring owner to go through a completely different road, but not through the 105. It's deeded from where we're proposing the gate all the way to the state line. It's our deeded land.
Okay. The other question, I know you are leasing, or at least the 80% owner, I guess, or between the 80-20, they're yes. both leasing the state land.
State, what, we have the state grazing lease and the state recreational lease.
Very good. And what is the length of years that you have on that particular lease?
I believe it's 5 years. I'm new to some of this Colorado state lease stuff, but I believe it's a 5-year lease.
Okay. And if the lease is not renewed under your management or leadership, is there going to be any challenges by that property being leased by somebody else?
We would challenge it. I mean, we intend to lease it as long as we own the deeded land. And so if there's, I think the process is when you get to the 5 years, somebody can put a bid in, and we would definitely challenge that.
But. Okay. Commissioners, any questions for Mr. Hazen?
Just for clarification, Mr. Hazen, for the audience that's out there, you control the actual grazing lease and the hunting lease, so there really isn't any public access at that point on that school section, correct?
That's my understanding of Colorado state land laws, is we're the only ones that are allowed to graze it or hunt it.
With perhaps the exclusion of, Mr. Lucero made mention of a cemetery there.
On the map, it shows a Lucero cemetery down towards the creek. I'll be honest, I have not driven down there to even look and see if it's actually there, but it does show it on a map.
Sure. I have that. And so if there was anyone at 1 and 2, Mr. Doran Camp is highlighting right now where that cemetery would be roughly located. Right around, let's see. I think it's right by the what appears to be a lake there, Mr. Drawing Camp.
That's the section there.
Yeah, okay.
It's just north of the headquarters, looks like, about a quarter of a mile.
Well, typically they're fenced out, Commissioner. I apologize. I don't see.
I've never seen, you know, normally there's a 2-acre fence or whatever, so, headstones. I've never seen anything, but yeah. I just mean it's not there.
Let me be redundant and ask this of Mr. Dorian Camp. Once we locate the cemetery of Mr. Lucero, is the gate going to be impeding anyone
no, sir.
To have access to that? Okay.
No, sir. The gate will be, they would be able to. Right. If the cemetery is there, it's on the southern end of the state land.
Okay.
So they would be able to drive up to the gate and then go down the state land. There's no road there. I guess they could walk down the state fence to go to that cemetery.
Okay. We are able to locate that. And the reason of the question is that we don't want to there were so many ancestral,
correct,
generational people that had lived around here. And certainly, you know, somebody's doing a genealogical search and they find out that their great, great, great somebody was buried there. You know, that's such a sacred opportunity to go pay him a respectful visit. And that's one of the things my concern would be, that they would have access to the property. They would have access to do what they need to do. And as Mr. Dorenkamp said, that property probably is fenced off, should be, or at least identified by some. Do you have an opportunity, Mr. Lucero, to actually identify that?
I've never seen them. If it's marked, I can't find the markers on there. So I'm sure there's somebody buried there, but I can't tell you exactly where, because it's not fenced or anything.
Okay. So through the registry, Mr. Lucero, through the registry of Colorado Cemetery, there is not any record that indicates this is at such and such location?
No.
Okay.
And even if it was, we would allow access. We're not trying to restrict anybody's access to a cemetery. But I'm not aware. And I've not seen one there. But.
Mr. Hazen, thank you so much. Please remain in the room.
I have a couple of questions for Mr. Hazen as well.
Yes.
Just to reiterate the fact that I mentioned about the county road, once it is vacated, it's a small section area. If you ever want it to be redeemed as a county road, that you would be required and your fellow landowner to bring it up to county standards before the county would put it back on the inventory list, just so you're aware of that.
Okay. Yes, yeah. Sir.
And then also, I'm not a big fan of vacating roads, ever have been, because of the loss of tax revenue of the dollars. But in this particular case, I do also respect the property owner's concerns of having access to their farmhouse and their equipment. So having said that, I appreciate you bringing that before us here today and making sure that you did your checks and balances for all of the surrounding landowners in this state park. So thank you for your time today.
You bet. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Stay in the room and just to remind you that you will be sworn in until we close this particular public hearing.
Yes,
thank you, sir. Mr. Dorenkamp, do you show in your inventory this particular section of road receiving a HUTF?
It does, Commissioner.
Thank you, sir. And it is 2037 feet, just close to perhaps the slightly under half a mile.
That is correct.
0.39 to be exact.
Yes, 0.39. Yes, thank you. Commissioner Haas? Commissioner Luis Lopez, any questions? Let me now go ahead and open up the floor for anyone at this point in time that would like to provide testimony against this particular portion of road being vacated. I'd like to ask a question of probably of the owner, and since we have the sheriff come back, Mr. Hazen, I just popped to my mind, and I'm going to ask our sheriff also to be sworn in if I need to follow up a question. But in the event that we have an emergency and the gate is locked and there's somebody dialing in a 911 service, how would law enforcement be able to access, or emergency services be able to access that property if the gate is locked?
I would leave that up to the sheriff. I assume he has what I call a master key, some bolt cutters. He would be more than welcome to cut the lock, or we could provide the sheriff's department with the it'll be a combination lock that we put on there. I have no problem providing the sheriff or the EMTs with the combination.
And again, that would be for public safety purposes. Okay. And in the event that somebody wanders back there within your property, they come through the public land and they end up on your property, and the 911 call comes in, it might not even be anyone that you know, but if there is that need. So let me stand by. Sheriff, would you please come up and ask our fire marshal and Los Angeles County Sheriff, I think, please raise your right hand, sir.
Solemnly affirm under penalty of perjury the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes.
Please state your name and position.
Eric Navarrete, Sheriff, Los Angeles County.
Yes, sir. I guess the question is this kind of a normal question that I'm asking, a normal procedure, if you are having to respond to in the event of EMT or any kind of emergency for you to access the property, you have, by statute, I would imagine the Constitution, to access that to provide and render services to someone that is calling for them?
Yes, we have the right to access that property. Normally, if the homeowner or the resident is willing to give us a combination, we can lock that in with dispatch anytime we go up. If they give the call to dispatch, they can either give us that combo over our iPad service or our dispatch, so it's not aired. But we can get that combo if he's willing to give that to us.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. And this is more for protecting everyone that may have to that may wander back there and get lost, and pretty soon they're calling for help and so on.
And with it being in dispatch, emergency services, EMTs, paramedics can access that combo as well if they need it. They just call in because they have the same access to our dispatch center.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. So, Mr. Hayes, and if this project were to be approved, I would highly recommend to go ahead and get in contact with the sheriff to provide that combination, depending on what the outcome of this hearing is. Thank you, sir. Thank you both. So once again, let me make one more call for anyone that would wish to provide testimony against this particular section of road being vacated.
One comment. I'm looking up the Lucero Cemetery on a different map that I do not have available on the laptop that we run Zoom meetings on. It's showing, and again, I need to stress, I haven't been out there. Mr. Hazen has testified that he hasn't seen the cemetery either, but the information I've got on different maps shows that actually the Lucero Cemetery is in section one. I don't know if that's factual or not.
Put the map up again, Mr. Recap, and highlight section one there.
But if my understanding, and this would, I guess, be a question for council, but I believe even on private property, people are permitted to access cemeteries, family cemeteries. So I don't know if that would play into your decision or not.
And that was my question earlier. That's why I wanted to identify that in the event that somebody's doing this genealogical research and they find out whether it's on public or private property, I think to me, the importance would be for that family to have access to pay their homage and reverence to their loved one.
So if I may add to both your concerns as a Board of Health member, we've had this issue brought up to us before. The health department, you know, issues the permits for the burials and stuff, and we've had some concerns regarding private land cemeteries and having access to them. And one, for example, is in your district, Chairman, owned by Sam Lopez, and there is public access to it year-round, but it is on private property, so he does allow that. And by, I believe, there is a state statute that says whether these older property or cemeteries are on private property, that they still must have a lot of access to them. So we can go into executive session if you'd like to confer with legal counsel, if you like, to make sure your concern is addressed.
Very good. Since we didn't have anyone in opposition of this particular public hearing, I would like to call for quick executive session.
So moved.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. And if you all just wait around, we'll come out and have a decision. Thank you, commissioners. At this time, I'll entertain a motion to exit executive session and resume this public hearing on application VR 2024-001.
So moved.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. Mr. Lucero, planning and land use for doing all the research and due diligence on this particular property, and those of you that provided testimony, Mr. Hazen and Sheriff Navarrete, as Commissioner Luis Lopez mentioned earlier, a little bit of due diligence has to take place. And for that, we thank you for your patience and waiting around. So commissioners, do we have any additional questions for the witnesses?
I would like to call Mr. Hazen back up, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir.
Well, Mr. Hazen, thank you again. Moving forward at this point in time with your application, I think the board is ready to move forward. As long as you and your landowner, and if you're available to speak on behalf of your other landowner,
yes,
to the contingent of changing this somewhat of allowing or having it in the resolution that states that you will allow folks that were wanting to visit the cemetery that have their deceased folks their access to that in the resolution.
We have no problem. And I'm actually, Freedom Outfitters is the managing, on paper, the managing. So I can speak for the 80% for the ranch. But we have no problem allowing people to access a cemetery if there's one there.
Thank you, sir.
We're gonna note that as we go forward.
Yes.
So there is no misunderstandings. And as far as somebody would come back to the county, hey, I must denied access.
Correct.
And at that point in time, I just for the record, this Board of County Commissioners will probably have to revisit the decision that would be made today to allow access to anyone. And also, I don't know, Mr. Durant Camp, if on the resolution, we perhaps may have to add that condition, but nonetheless, at this point in time, that is forthcoming, to move forward. But at this point in time, any other questions for Mr. Hazen or anybody else in the audience? Hearing none,
Yes,
sir. I can tell you too, we have no trespassing signs with my phone number on the signs. So if there's ever any issue, people can just, my number's there, readily available. So.
Thank you, sir. Commissioners, hearing no other discussion, I will entertain a motion.
Chairman, I'll make the motion to approve the application VR 2024-001 with adding the condition of said comments, allowing access to folks wishing to visit the Lucero Cemetery on this property.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Pili Lopez?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Hazen. And so definitely now we're going to go to the resolution VR 2024-001. Robert Starks Living Trust and Freedom Outfitters LLC, Mr. Dorenkamp.
Resolution of the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, vacating a portion of County Road 105.6, resolution number 24-033. Whereas Robert Starks Living Trust and Freedom Outfitters LLC is requesting to vacate a portion of County Road 105.6, starting at the north boundary of section 1-35 South-61 West. And south, approximately 2,037 feet to the end of the road in our ranch house and shop. And whereas Los Angeles County Planning Commission heard application VR 2024-001 filed by Robert Starks Living Trust and Freedom Outfitters LLC at its meeting held on September 9, 2024. And whereas Los Angeles County Planning Commission recommended to that the Board of County Commissioners approve application BR 2024-001, vacate a portion of County Road 105.6, start at the north boundary section 135 South 61 West, then approximately 2,037 feet to the end of the road in our ranch house and shop. And whereas the Board of County Commissioners held a public hearing on October 15, 2024, at which time an opportunity was afforded to the public to make comments on application BR 2024-001. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, that one, the Board of County Commissioners hereby approves application BR 2024-001 and vacates a portion of County Road 1056, starting at the north boundary of Section 1, 35 South, 61 West, and approximately 2,037 feet to the end of the county road in our ranch house and shop. And then do we want to add two with the conditions as stated by the Board of County Commissioners, that being access being available to anyone who wishes to access a cemetery within Section 1?
That would be correct, sir. At this point in time, I will entertain a motion to approve.
The resolution upon a motion made second and affirmative vote was adopted the 15th day of October 2024 by order of the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, followed by your signature notes.
Thank you. I will entertain a motion to approve with that particular recommendation.
Move to approve resolution 24-033-DR-2024. -001 by Robert Starks Living Trust and Freedom Outfitters LLC with that amendment.
Second the motion.
Mr. Reese Lopez?
Yes.
Mr. Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Peter Lopez?
Yes. I want to thank you all.
Thank you.
This meeting, the public hearing is adjourned. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Now we're going to. I'll entertain a motion to enter back into the regular Board of County Commissioners regular meeting.
So moved.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Mr. Peter Lopez?
Yes. 9J, consideration of resolution 24-036, opposition to Proposition KK, firearms and ammunition excise tax. Mr. Dorenkamp?
Mr. Before you for your considerations, resolution 24-036, opposition to Proposition KK, firearms and ammunition excise tax.
Commissioners, we've had the resolution. Any questions?
No questions. Sure.
I'll entertain a motion to approve that resolution.
Motion to approve resolution 24-036, opposition to Proposition KK, firearms and ammunition excise tax.
Second the motion.
Mr. Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Mr. Felix Lopez?
Yes. Mr. Dorenkamp, read the resolution for the record.
Board of County Commissioners, Los Angeles County, Colorado, resolution opposing the passage of Proposition KK, resolution 24-036. Whereas the people of Colorado are set to vote on Proposition KK, which seeks to establish an excise tax on firearms and ammunition purchases in the state, whereas the Constitution of both the United States and the state of Colorado guarantee the individual right of the people to keep and bear arms, whereas taxation of a fundamental constitutional right is not only a prima facie violation of said right, but is repugnant to any proper sense of governance of a constitutional republic. Taxation of constitutional rights other than the right to keep and bear arms have been roundly and consistently repudiated and or disapproved by our courts, including the Supreme Court of the United States. Whereas the estimated annual cost of this proposed tax increase to Colorado firearms and ammunition purchasers is a preponderous $39 million. Whereas the imposition of such taxes could disproportionately affect low-income residents, hunters, sportsmen, sportspeople, and individuals who rely on firearms for personal protection and subsistence, making it more difficult for them to afford the firearms and ammunition necessary for these lawful purposes. Whereas the intended uses of the proceeds of this proposed tax include recipients of previously state-funded programs that the state has gutted, bringing mental health patients and domestic violence victims imprint to assist in balancing its budget, whereas it is responsibility of the Colorado General Assembly to see to the proper and appropriate funding of public priorities and to identify fair and equitable means for funding those priorities rather than imposing an unfair, excessive, and financial burden on a targeted law-abiding population for merely exercising their constitutional rights, and Whereas the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado is committed to protecting the rights of its citizens, including the constitutional rights, and believes that effective measurements and believes that effective measures to fund priority programs and combat violence should focus on enforcement, education, and community safety programs rather than increased taxation. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of Los Angeles County, Colorado, that the board hereby opposes the passage of Proposition KK and urges your citizen to vote against this ballot measure at the general election. Upon a motion made and second affirmative vote, this resolution was adopted this 15th day of October 2024. Floor of the Board of County Commissioners of San Luis County, Colorado, followed by your signature.
Thank you, sir. I'm going to go to Section 10, Financial Matters, consideration of payroll bills for the first half of October 2024. Finance Director Coverley.
Payroll as of October 15, 2024 is $233,990.33. Let's see. And on October 15th, in our personnel policy, we pay out any comp time. So you'll see on page 4, some of the employees actually use the comp time. Some of them are paid out. A lot of employees actually did save it till December as well to get paid out. I just want to call it to your attention on that for payroll.
Little Christmas gift.
Mm-hmm. And then bills paid on, invoices were paid on October 9th, $567,181.78. I did make notes, Tony. I didn't remember.
Saw those.
Okay, you'll see. So Arc Valley. We're still paying on the fairgrounds design, $31,910.07. We're still paying for the airport project of Grant 16, $54,552.50. The large construction invoice has not come in yet for that. JBBS, $14,259.58. Extension finally received their van. They're very excited.
2 years or a year?
2 years.
2022 is when we initially place the order.
Yeah, they were excited about that. So $46,076. And this is not the final of the HVAC. I think we still have two more payments for the HVAC for milling, $311,810.88. Anything else I might have missed?
No.
No.
Any questions for Finance Director?
No, sir.
Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve payroll and bills for the first half of October 2024.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. And information only. Back to you, Finance Director Coverley.
Let's see. Financials as of September 30th. On page 2, I always do a prior year comparison. Or do we have any questions on the comparison that I have here for September 30th?
No, are you on the overall, sir? I mean, deficit that we're showing at the bottom. Is there any?
No, we're just going to continue to watch general fund where we are with the HVAC, you know, because that's high dollar. Yeah. You know, sales tax, we're always 2 months in arrears on that. Road and Bridge does have a surplus. Money was transferred. Airport, I haven't transferred the funds for airport yet for the project. I'm waiting for the final invoice before capital expenditure transfers the money. So I want to make sure I don't transfer too much on that. You can see PILT is in a deficit because we did transfer the funds for the HVAC and for Road and Bridge. We did transfer the funds for the jail improvement for the sheriff, the 100,000. So all we're going to do is I'm just going to continue to keep watching.
So question two. Mr. Dornkamp or Paula and Christy yourselves. Speaking of milling and the high dollars for the HVAC systems, with these last couple of mornings being chilly, are your systems working at
mine is. I keep my office really warm.
I know Mr. Hess had the air conditioner on in here overnight to make sure it's cool, so it seems like it's working.
No issue. Turned it over, Tony.
So far.
And that's something for this staff and these people that work in this courthouse for years to come. Job well done, everybody.
Yeah.
I think we need to, at the end of this whole thing,
have a bit of a,
an open house.
I think so. And that would be awesome to explain to the community the labors of 7-8 years.
I remember about 2 years ago, we had a discussion of doing bringing back all of the folks that worked on the project and doing a dedication outside, some sort of plaque possibly for the building, for the contractors, and the dedication to that. I don't know if we still want to.
Trinidad's going to be celebrating, is it the 150th or 100th? No, the 150th celebration, year celebration. I think we, as a county, might be able to join in that and showcase some of the good things that have taken place in the last 150 years. But for us here at the courthouse, 1912, it's this building is going to be fantastic here in a few months. Completely done. So, food for fodder. Any questions on the FYI from Finance Director Coverly? Hearing that, now I am going to, we're going to go to Section 11, Executive Session. The Board will meet in Executive Session under CRS 24-6424B. Confirm with the County Attorney for the purpose of receiving legal advice on specific legal questions. A, vacancies. B, BEAD. And C, policy. At this time, I'll entertain a motion to
add that one too.
Oh, I'm sorry. And then, of course, CRS 24-6402, determine position relative to matters that may be subject to negotiations, developing strategy for negotiations, and instructing negotiators. A, budget. So, on those two different CRS titles, I'll entertain a motion to enter into executive session.
So moved. Second the motion.
Mr. Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Mr. Haas?
Yes.
Mr. Pizzo?
Yes. With a really short recess.
Phil, you're still muted.
Is that better, Sean?
Yours sounds clear as day.
Thank you.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn the executive session.
So moved. Second.
Mr. Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Mr. Haas?
Yes.
Mr. Felix Lopez?
Yes. And now I'll entertain a motion to resume the regular Board of County Commissioners meeting on this October 15, 2024.
So moved. Second.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. Having no other items on this agenda, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Second.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes. See you in a short while.